these things are beyond just the ad hoc conversations that we've been having with the people in our world. These are thematically coming up across the board. And I wanted to share them with you, and not just share with you what they are, but also share with you some of the things that you might be able to consider doing about them and with them. If any of those are actually crossing your path, if you are having a challenge getting the future that you are craving as a professional speaker, a professional who's paid to speak, an expert cementing their profile, someone building their business, or the creator of a charity of a movement, then it's quite simple. Welcome to the Speaker Driven Business Podcast for the entrepreneurs, the subject matter experts, and the difference makers who want to unlock the power of speaking driven strategies to accelerate impact, influence, and revenue. I'm your host, Jacqueline Nagel, and this is the place for straight talking, easy to implement 20-minute or less business, speaking, and communications insights and lessons, which will help you break through from unheard of to in demand. Let's go. Welcome back to the Speaker Driven Business Podcast. And I wanted to bring in some of the conversations that we've been having with people as we reach out to them through our social and digital media channels, and also some of the questions that come up and the themes, I guess, that come up in the masterclasses that we run from time to time with our audiences. Now, in a recent masterclass we ran, we hosted a conversation to unlock just what the greatest challenges were for the people on the call. Now, we had over 200 people register for this call, and we had more than 80 people online for the duration of the call. And this is where I realized that these things are beyond just the ad hoc conversations that we've been having with the people in our world. These are thematically coming up across the board. And I wanted to share them with you, and not just share with you what they are, but also share with you some of the things that you might be able to consider doing about them and with them. So these were the top five. Number one is there's too many things. And by too many things, I mean there's too many things I can speak on. I've got all this experience, all this knowledge, all this expertise. There's just too many things. That's number one. The second thing is not finding the right stages, platforms, and audiences. It seems to be one of the biggest concerns of the people who are coming into our space is how do I actually find the right places to speak? The third thing is exhaustion. Everything is customized and tailored. The fourth thing is momentum, never seeming to get to the next level or to where I want to be. And number five is sustainability. And this comes down to there's not enough revenue or not enough demand or not enough opportunity, and especially relative to the effort that we feel like we're putting into this. So let's break it down then. Let's actually go into each one of these a little bit deeper for you and see whether or not we can gift you something that you can use to start you pull out of this challenge and into where you want to be. So the first one that we spoke about was too many things. Now, my view on this is that it comes down to how well we've internalized the term FOMO. The whole fear of missing out. It's kind of like when I speak to people about landing on one thing, because the most effective speeches are one topic, one subject, one message, one conversation, if they're having it with one person. And yet, even though we know this from an experiential perspective, as someone in the audiences of other speakers, we understand that it's one message, one conversation, one topic, one thing per speech, even though we know from an experiential perspective as an audience member that this is what matters, it seems as though we're willing to discard this when it comes to actually speaking ourselves. So because of internalized FOMO, we feel as though if we land on one thing, we let go of everything else. If we land on one message, we can't ever speak about the other things. So in podcast episode number 13, we actually talked about your one bold idea, and there are resources for you in that to at least get your starting point. But what I've come to say more and more to people is when you're a speaker, when you say that you're a speaker, then you should be speaking. So just start somewhere. Start with the most logical one to start with. And I want you to get this around, get your head around this one. You don't have to marry your idea, your topic, as a single topic or idea you're going to speak on for the rest of your life. You can flirt with it. You can then decide if you're going to date it. And then if the dating is going to plan, then you can choose to marry it and double down on it. But you're not going to understand what that thing is that you should marry if you don't actually, first of all, start dating something exclusively and flirt with just the one person or idea in the room. So I want you to think about your speaking topic and landing on one thing. Instead of like, I've got all of these things I can offer, what's the one thing I can start with? What's the one thing I'm willing to run with right now that I could speak to easily? Shape it well and see what the audiences do with it. And the other thing that I would like to say with this is that you need to start with where you have the right to start. And that's both in topic and subject. I remember years ago in one of our workshops, somebody who came through who had a massive coaching business working with accounting firm owners had also had this incredible personal journey that included, well, I'm not going to share it with you because it's her story to share, but she had this massive personal journey and people were finding that incredibly inspirational. However, it wasn't really her zone. So even though she came into the workshop to speak about that story, what her heart was in was the work that she did every day. That was where she needed to be speaking. The other thing is to start speaking in the industries that already know you. Okay, so this is really important. We're going to break that down a little bit later. But if you feel like you have too many things, then what I would suggest for you is you've become uncomfortable with owning one thing, and you don't have to own that one thing for a lifetime. You just have to own that one thing for a season to understand whether or not it's going to land. And if nothing else, if the topic you happen to choose as your one thing doesn't last more than a season, which could be a few weeks, a few months, or even a year, what you will learn is you will actually improve your muscle of speaking. You cannot lose on this, literally. So that's number one, too many things. Number two, the second challenge is not finding the right stages, platforms, and audience. Now, in a previous lifetime, I was a co-director and owner of two real estate agencies. And in that, it was all about position, position, position. And my then husband used to say, it's actually all about position, position, and marketing, right? So it's about position, position, and marketing. And so when it comes to speaking, what I think it actually is instead of position, 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 which we talk to position, position, and marketing. In speaking, it's position, position, and positioning, right? They're different things. So it always comes down to three things: position, position, positioning. And what they are made up of is the first position is your content. Your content has to be more than just a good idea. We've been running people through a program to develop their TED-style talk. And what's been really interesting with that is getting people to actually understand that it's not just about a sound bubble and a thought bubble and an idea. We actually have to back that idea up. And all of them have done that brilliantly. But it's amazing how much we have to focus intentionally to make sure that what we have is more than just a good idea. So the first position is your content. The second position in the position, position, positioning is where is your market and their stages? You need to be positioning. You need to get into position in a way that those markets and those stages are going to want you as part of their world. So that's the second part of position. Where are you actually playing? The first is the content. The second is where are you actually playing? And the third, which is positioning, is your collateral and your digital footprint. Right. Now your collateral matters to get you cut through. Just saying you're a speaker is not enough. There are certain irrefutable laws about what we actually need to produce and have in the market for people to know that they can trust us. You having great experience and having a really good idea and saying that you're a speaker is actually not enough. You need to clean up your digital footprint. You need to make yourself accessible so that I can understand that I can trust you. And there are certain pieces of marketing collateral that you must produce in a way that gets the attention of the people who are going to write you a check. Your digital footprint matters also. You need to go all in. You can't say, I'm a speaker and I'm a this and I'm a that and I'm a this and I'm a that and expect to get primarily speaking inquiries coming through. So you need to go all in on your digital footprint, and you need to make sure that wherever somebody turns, they understand either that you are a speaker or they see something that tells them they can trust their audience with you if they're to bring you in. And it's a really simple mistake we make as well. It's kind of like we become speaker, we have this new identity of becoming a speaker, and it's like we have to start all over again. We need to not overlook where we are already known. So start with the industry that already knows you. You know, Julie Cross, who is one of our most prolific speakers in Australia, she's an inspirational speaker. She didn't start speaking on the massive conference stages she now commands and the incredible corporates that she now speaks to internally. She started her speaking career by both speaking and training in the industry she was known, which was hairdressing. Now for her, hairdressing has maintained its foundational place as a major part of her business, but she started where she was known, and she will tell you that this is the best thing ever. Start where you are known. Start where you already have a stage. It also recently happened with one of my clients where we're actually looking at moving her into corporate. And we were looking at what makes sense from a corporate perspective. And she suddenly sent me a message and she said, hey, my hospitality days, I actually have huge networks into the corporates within hospitality. Should I be starting there? And the very quick response was, yes, you should, right? So make sure that you're starting somewhere where you're already known, where you're not having to fight for people to actually understand who you are. And those stages may be low paid or not as frequent, but they will actually help you build these foundational stones that you need. And to be very blunt, you need to be able to actually, if you are saying that you can't find the right stages or the platforms or the audiences, or you're really worried about it, I'm going to be really blunt right here. Can you answer the question, why would someone hire you? And if you can answer that question, is that your opinion or do you have evidence? Why would someone hire you to speak on your topic? And has somebody actually hired you on that? Right? Because if you can't answer that question, then you're actually not even ready to find the right stages and the right audiences and the right platforms. Because if you can't answer why someone would hire you, you actually haven't yet identified what the right platforms and stages and audiences are. So super, super important. The third challenge that comes up time and time again is exhaustion. Everything's customized and tailored. Now, this can also be exhaustion from I'm doing all the things and nothing's breaking through. But when we first start out, the mistake that we make is that we actually think that we have to reinvent the wheel and be seen to be savvy and responsive, and we have the ability to customize because we're so clever. And what that does is every time we speak, it leads us to a state of exhaustion. An emerging speaker I worked with back in 2018, she had one particular week where over 2 days, she was speaking in front of a small boardroom of multi-million dollar business leaders, so 24 people. She was going to be speaking at a university as a returning guest lecturer, and she also had her first keynote. Three incredibly different formats. She was given the topic for each one, and she had to actually deliver each one of those in completely different ways. What happened was she actually fell over at the end of it. She was exhausted. She got some really bad feedback simply because she couldn't be perfectly on for all of them. And whilst that is an extreme example, this is what happens when you're first starting out and you fall into the trap of thinking that demonstrating your smarts and I guess your appeal, you think comes down to being flexible, able to tailor and to customize. But there is also too an unequivocal truth in this. There's a couple of them. Unequivocal truth number one with this is that sometimes you need to customize where you start, but you don't market, advertise, or offer that, right? So with that, what I'm saying is sometimes you actually do have to do all these scattergun things. But what I see happening time and time again is conversations then get confused and marketing messages get confused because you think you're delivering on all of these things. You now have to talk to all of these things, your marketing, your messaging, and you don't. So you may well have to customize to start with to get yourself moving. There's no doubt about it, but put a time limit on it. And one of the ways that you put a time limit on it is you make sure that your single message to market remains the same. You don't need to advertise all the different things that you do. Make sure that your single message to market remains the same. This is your topic. This is what you're famous for. This is what you're best at. You don't have to bring everything you do into what your marketing and sales conversations are. The second unequivocal truth when it comes to this is that everyone will customize to a degree, but they customize based on their signature message, what the market knows them for. They don't customize according to the audience demand. They don't change their topics. They actually customize 10 to 15% of their signature speech content, and they still sound consistent and congruent, right? The third unequivocal truth is that the most powerful thing you can say when you're asked to customize and you're given a topic, the most powerful thing you can say is no. Quite simply, say no. This is my line. I can tell you now that the people in my world, the first time they say no to something that is not within directly within their lane, the sense of freedom and power that they feel is second to none. It actually frees them up to really pursue where they should be going. So the other thing as I lead out of this one is also remember that customizing more than 15%, that becomes a consulting fee. I want you to keep that in mind. The fourth challenge is momentum, never ever seeming to get to the next level. And this is one that gets people back into challenge number three, which is exhausted. So never seeming to get to the next level. So there's a few things here that I want you to do. The first thing is I want you to check your content has been crafted, that your signature speech is in fact dollar worthy. And that's just not your best friends telling it and you having an opinion of it, is that somebody has actually said that they will pay for it. One of our emerging speakers that we worked with, she had always spoken for free. And the first time that she's spoke in this new format, still for free, somebody came up and said, "We'd love to engage you to speak. What's your fee?" And because she wasn't ready for the question, even though we told her it was going to happen, she really didn't believe it was going to happen. She literally said, "Oh, I'm free." Now, fortunately for her, that woman said, "Darling, you should never be free. this is what I'll pay you on this occasion, right? So check your content has been crafted and your signature speech is dollar worthy. The second thing is check your position is clear. What you speak on, who you speak into. Just recently, we had another emerging client. She's done a workshop. She's getting ready to start testing her keynote, but she had an opportunity from a call out for speakers and she hadn't actually done her one sheet. And she said to me, I was too early for the call out. And I said, no, get your one sheet done. Let's go. Now, what happened in putting that one sheet together and doing it very quickly, doing it within a 24-hour turnaround period, was that she had to get really clear on her positioning. And this is one of the reasons why I love a one sheet, because to get a good one sheet, you've got to be really clear on your positioning, what you speak on, who you speak to, what they're going to take away from it, really clearly, really simply. The third thing I want you to check is your positioning. Does your collateral and your digital footprint tell me I can trust you? We've already covered this off. If I am the one paying you, that is it positioned for the audience or for the people who write the check? Most people have their collateral positioned for the audience who love them, but not for the people who are actually going to write the check and pay you. Really, really important distinction. So please check your positioning. And if all of that is on point, then the question we need to ask is this one. Are you in the right lane? And this is where my superpower comes in. We quite often shift lanes, change lanes, or get off the freeway altogether when I work one-on-one with people. Because quite often you're experiencing your topic, you want to speak in a certain space, but that's actually not where you're going to get the cut through. So there's lots of things that we do to identify which lane you should actually be speaking on, and then making sure that your content is positioned to get you there. Number five, the fifth most popular challenge is sustainability. There's not enough revenue, opportunity, incoming things, especially for the effort I'm making. This is actually all of the above, and it also means that you're in the red zone. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail here. What I'd love you to do, if you're not sure what I mean by red zone, gold zone, refer back to episode 7, I think it is, which is red zone to gold zone mastery, and that will walk you through what happens. What happens when you actually break in the gold zone is not just that you get opportunity, not that you'll start to make money, you'll actually be stimulated instead of exhausted. Right? You'll actually have revenue instead of none. So there's all these changes that happen as you go from red zone to gold zone that make your business sustainable, that actually mean that you can get the revenue, the opportunity, and the chances that you're looking for. And also, let's talk about the elephant in the room. A lot of people come to me about paid speaking. A fair percentage of them will make money from their speaking as a paid speaker, but there are so many people who can make a small fortune through speaking, where the speaking itself is free, but it's going to drive revenue into your business. Now, there is a waiver on this. If your speaking is not driving revenue and opportunity to your business, then the content and the positioning is not on point and you should pull up right now. You should build a speaking-driven business, but only if it's actually driving revenue. So you're either getting paid from the speaking or paid through your speaking, but either one of those, you actually have to have evidence points of revenue and opportunity coming into your business every time you speak, right? So they're the five challenges that people come to us all the time with. It's that there's too many things to speak on. They're not finding the right stages, platforms, and audiences. The third one is exhaustion. The fourth one is lack of momentum. And the fifth one is lack of sustainability. So if any of those are actually crossing your path, if you are having a challenge getting the future that you are craving as a professional speaker, a professional who's paid to speak, an expert cementing their profile, someone building their business, or the creator of a charity of a movement, then it's quite simple. Check your content, check your positioning. And if all of that seems to be in order, then check your lane and change your lanes if you must. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Speaker Driven Business. And if you have, I'd love you to do two things for me. Number one, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And number two, leave a review so other people can find and enjoy the content we share. Online, you can find us on Instagram and connect with me personally on LinkedIn. Just head to anygiventuesday.com.au and you will find all the connection points there. Speaker Driven Business is the show making speaking-driven strategies accessible to everyone, and I am honored you tuned in.